If you look on the money that's printed by the United States, in many places it says, e pluribus unum, from many, one. And it describes the sentiment that really people all over the world can come, settle here, and make a life for themselves and be united with all other citizens. Or it was described once a bit ago as being a great melting pot. In fact, in 1782, in a piece that was titled Letters from an American Farmer, it says, what then is the American, this new man? That the American is one who, leaving behind him all his ancient prejudices and manners, receives new ones from the new mode of life that he has embraced. The government he obeys and the new rank he holds, he becomes an American by being received in a broad lap of our great alma mater. Here individuals of all nations are melted into one new race of men, whose labors and posterity will one day cause great changes in the world. Now, of more recent times, we find this is being altered and it is being changed. There's a strong movement to celebrate our differences. No longer is the emphasis in blending cultures, but in forging a new one, or blending cultures to forge a new one, it's seeing each culture as different and retaining the old ones. So you got the phrases like embrace diversity or celebrate our differences. But I want you to think about what Jesus said in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 25. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Now, Jesus was talking about Satan battling against Satan. It won't work. But that same principle applies to other situations. And unfortunately, society's views have become reflected in religion. To express different or disagreements with another person, just to have a different viewpoint, is now called judgmental. Sometimes even sinful. If a person practices a sexual sin, well, you can't speak against that. And already some are taken to court for saying that homosexuality is a sin. That's happened up in Canada. It's happened in the United States. Pressure mounts to allow homosexual members and have them in the leadership. Many of the denominations have folded to that over the years. This is not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus laid down a principle of unity. In John chapter 17, John 17 and verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Early Christians, we have to understand, they came from a diverse set of backgrounds. There was a large difference between how the Jews viewed the world and the Gentiles did. It was monstrous, to the point where they basically didn't speak to each other. Here were people from birth disdaining each other, looking down on each other, living in suspicion of each other. And yet they were baptized and accepted the will of the same Father and started calling each other brother and sister. How successful would the early church have been if they had retained their prejudices and their differences? Now think about marriage. One man and one woman become one flesh, as in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. The success of marriage depends on their ability to overcome their differences. And they can be significant. And they learn to surrender their individuality. The two become one. But when you have two people insisting that they retain their individual identities and focus solely on what they personally want, even though they're legally joined by marriage, it dissolves into dysfunction. Now, Christians, too, also have their differences. We all come from different backgrounds. We have different families. Some of us have different nationalities. We have from backgrounds of different religious beliefs in our backgrounds. We have different social statuses. We also have different talents. Take a look at Romans chapter 6. Chapter 12, verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We all have different abilities. And we all function in different ways. Just like each of the organs that we have in our body. My heart does not function the way my liver does. We all function differently. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and starting at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desires. If they were all one member, where would the body be? If I left it there, you would think, well, God wants complete diversity. And that's all he cares about in his church. But both Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are passages teaching unity. In Romans 12, if we back up and go back there again, and back up to verse 3, Romans 12, verse 3, we started at 6 before, but let's go back to verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have many, many members, they have different functions, but they exist in one body. They work together. My heart doesn't celebrate its diversity from my liver. It works with the liver to cause the body to function. In 1 Corinthians 12, let's go back to verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, even though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Jumping down to verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. Jumping down to verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We work together. We share the sorrows and the pleasures of life together. Again, if we consider marriage, we see the same thing. A man and a woman become husband and wife. Together they form a single family. But each one brings different abilities to the union, to the benefit of both of them. My wife does not think the way I do. She doesn't function the way I do. It's a good thing. We need each of our talents to make the family work. So, how does unity then achieved? First off, it is achieved by submission to all, or submission by all, I should say, to something that's greater than any one part. That's why in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, it says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment." We all have the same goals. We all approach problems the same way, and we have the same outlook. Well, we mentioned already in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It says, "By one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit." We are partaking of one standard. The Spirit is the one that brings us the Word of God. And we use that same standard, going back to Romans 12. And in verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." We got to hang on to what's right. We use the same standard of morality. We stick away from the same evils. We hang on to the same goods. In other words, there's a standard that's above all of us that we reach for. Unity is also achieved by having a concern for all the parts. I'm getting old and some of my parts are not working as well as they used to be. Okay. My mind has to say, you know, I got to take care of that, my back. Okay. All of us need to have concern for each one. Some of us have problems. We all should be concerned about it. We all should be taking that into account. That's why in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 10. "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Down in verse 13, "contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." Down in verse 15, "rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And if we look at 1 Corinthians 12, notice we're going back and forth between those two. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." If someone gets a promotion at work, I should be happy about it. It's not about jealousy or why did he get it, why didn't I get one. I should be happy for them. If someone's struggling, someone's sick, well, I should be concerned and I should be sad for them. We share those things. Just like my big toe likes to share its pain when I hit a, something it wasn't supposed to be hit. We should share our pains and our sorrows and our joys. It also means that we need to accept each other. Unity is not found by insisting that every member be exactly alike in everything. Because, again, all members don't have the same function. Again, in Romans 12, verse 4, "For just as we are many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function." But we should have the same mind towards one another. Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. I should treat everyone exactly alike. It doesn't matter whether they're rich, it doesn't matter whether they're poor, it doesn't matter if they like the other sports team that somebody else likes. It shouldn't matter. Everyone is important. We treat brethren as equals. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. And even the ones that, you know, it's kind of easy to overlook, they're just important. Down in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22, it says, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Which also then leads to the idea that we got to live in peace. We go to Romans 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now that sometimes means that we have to have a little bit of patience. Maybe a lot of patience. Some people are annoying. Not that they intend to be, but some people are a little bit harder to get along with. But notice what it says in Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We mentioned it before. Unity doesn't just happen. Unity comes about by efforts of everybody to work together. In James chapter 3, James chapter 3 and verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And notice that last phrase. Peace comes from people who make peace. It doesn't necessarily come easily. In fact, there has to be a willingness to yield. It's mentioned there. It says, where it says reasonable. Some translation says easily entreated. Willing to yield. I have to be willing to discuss things. I have to be willing to say, well, you know, I don't have to have it my way. Now, sometimes we tease about what we're going to paint the building. What color should we paint it? I've seen people divide over that. I should be reasonable. Yeah, I have this preference, but I can live with another thing. That's reasonable. It doesn't have to go my way. It has to go God's way. but it doesn't have to go my way. So it's not the idea we give into sin, because then we'll be leaving our single standard. But God hasn't made everything absolutely rigid and fixed. He's allowed us some freedom in certain areas. And we can use that freedom to work together. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 20. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those under the law, as under the law, though not myself being under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. And so we also have to then learn how to work together. We all have different talents. We need to use those talents to benefit each other. In Romans chapter 6, or Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Again, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Jumping down to verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer. I used to tease Brother Dave when he was here. He would call me up and say, my computer's broken. I said, I'll fix it. Oh, I need to pay you. No. Well, your time's worth. And I said, yeah, but you fix my lawnmower. Because motors and I don't get along with each other. I got kind of know what they're due, but that mine never work. But I can fix your computer. Fine. We'll do it to the benefit of each other. The whole church should work that way. Instead of expecting everybody to do everything, we all should make use of our talents the best we can. We have to realize we need everybody else's talents. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desires. If they were all one member, where would the body be? And the same thing would be true. If everybody was exactly like me, where would this church be? It wouldn't thrive the way it would with different talents. So what we have is unity is a blending despite our differences. We don't celebrate our differences, we blend them together. There's no emphasis on the differences, emphasizing the effort. And, you know, differences do exist. For example, in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. The focus is on harmonizing the abilities of the individuals into a whole that works to something far greater than any one of us can do. Going back to Ephesians 4, let's take a look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies. Notice, by what every joint supplies. According to the proper working of each individual part. Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. In other words, no matter your background, your social status, your gender, your religion, your past sins that you've struggled with, you can become a part of the body of Christ that works as a unit to the glory of God. We'll always leave an opportunity if you would like to join in that today. For those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the psalm that was selected.